I had big plans. I had a long list of summer projects that I wanted to get done. But I didn't get nearly half of them done. This summer went by so fast, and I can't hardly believe that I'm standing here and it's already September. But one of my projects this summer was to declutter both my home and my office here at church, my home office and my office here at church. Because you know how it is. Over the years, if you don't keep up with it, things just start piling up and all that kind of stuff. And I was feeling like things were piling up, and that was something that I just needed to get done. And in the last 6 months here at church, we've had several different shifts in staff and offices and all this kind of stuff. And so it just seemed like a really good idea to see if I could get that done before Bible study started. And then I made the mistake of thinking that I should go on vacation the week before Bible study started, which I know now is not a good idea to go right before the study starts. But I thought, okay, well, as long as I'm out of town for a week, how about if I get my office painted and rearranged? And so before I left on vacation, I put all my books in boxes, and I have a ton of books. I put them all in boxes. They're piled high in my office. And I came back this past Saturday thinking I would settle into my office on Sunday. Monday, of course, was the holiday. And then Tuesday, I'd be all ready to go. Well, I got in on Sunday to church, and I found that my office had been rearranged, but there was no desk, no desk at all. So I couldn't even start unpacking. But the good thing is that Tuesday the desk came, and even though there's boxes piled in my office because I haven't had a chance to unpack it all, I thought, what a great lesson for me as we begin the study of Ruth. Because it really was a little taste of the disruption of moving that Naomi and Ruth must have felt as they moved back to Bethlehem from Moab. And I thought, this is really a little taste of things beyond my control. And I know that's how Naomi felt as she saw her husband die and then both of her sons. And I also thought, this is a little taste of the kinds of opportunities that we face every day. Do we respond in grace in the moment or not? And so it was a great learning experience for me. So let's take a few minutes and let me explain a little bit about how we do things for those of you who are joining us for the first time. We have a small group time and a large group time. And the small group time, as you've already experienced this evening, is a time to really connect with some other women, a time to gather around the Word of God, hopefully a place of interaction and lively discussion over what we're studying. And as we get to know each other, we'll see more and more clearly Jesus in each other's lives. And that's a precious thing. And we'll interact with the Word of God and each other in life-changing, transformative ways. And that's what we pray consistently for all of our small groups throughout the year. We love to work in teams here because it reflects our triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that working together glorifies God. And so we have Susie Hoffman, who was up here a few minutes ago. She's our PM Bible study coordinator. And our right arm is Amy Stanlin. Amy, where are you? Stand up for a second here. Where are you? Amy, she might not be in here, but she is our right hand, and she does a million things behind the scenes. And then we have the team who greet everybody as they come in. We have a registration team. We have a Bible study guide selling team. We have a whole host of different teams. If you're on any of those teams, please stand and let us just say thank you. Thank you for all your work. So if you helped out tonight doing any of those, check in, stand up. Thank you. And then we have a teaching and writing team. And if you're on the teaching and the writing team, because we write our own studies here, and I know Mondrell is here, and Lita's here, she's also on that team. So would you just stand up as well? And let us say thank you to you as well. We also have the Spanish translation team and the Spanish interpretation team, because one of the things that we do is we welcome our Spanish-speaking sisters into the Bible study. And so we have a whole team of women who are bilingual, and they are willing to do the hard work of translating our study word for word into Spanish. And so if you're on that team, please stand. And if you're on the team that, yes, there they are, amazing women. And if you're on the team that is part of our Spanish interpretation team, which not only do we translate the Bible study into Spanish, but they periodically will come into the Bible study, and when they come in, we have simultaneous translation going on. As I'm speaking, someone is speaking into a headpiece that goes out to transmitters that people are listening to. And Judith, wave your hand. She's up there in that booth up there. And I tell you, those are incredibly special women who can think in two languages at the same time. That is amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So thank you, Judith, for all of that. And here's Amy. Amy, I just introduced you, so here she is. So there's one other really special person that is here tonight that I wanted to recognize, and her name is Melinda Crego. And Melinda and I work together to oversee all the ministry to women. And Melinda, please stand. She does an incredible job and hours of work behind the scenes. She helps keep us all organized, and I can't even begin to tell you all the things that she does. There's one last special group of women that I want to recognize tonight, and that is the leaders and co-leaders. And all of you who have been in the small groups, you've gotten to know two of them, your leader and co-leader. But I want all of you to stand. If you're a key leader or co-leader in our Bible study, please stand right now and let us thank you and say, it's so good to see your faces and to meet you and see who you are. Okay, so we're doing things a little bit differently. If you were with us last year when in our study of end times, we've rearranged our large group setup. And I think this is going to work really much better, because it seemed like last year we were spread out all over this huge room, and it just kind of got to feeling really unconnected. So we are hoping that this works. We're going to try it out for this week and next week, and hopefully we'll be able to stay in this setup. One of the challenges is a sound challenge. So if you would pray for the sound in this room, that would be great, because God is bigger than any sound issues we might have. But because the stage is in front of the speakers right here and here, there will be occasionally a feedback loop of sound, of echo. And so just know that that's going to happen. If it gets too bad, we'll move the stage farther back and maybe even have our lessons from the front of the stage right up here. But hopefully this will work. We will be also hearing, there might be a buzzing that you hear occasionally, and that is probably the translation of the Spanish as I'm speaking or whoever's teaching is speaking. And so that's what it is. So if that buzzing bothers you, just find another seat. But that's something that we're just going to have to learn to live with and learn to love, because it means that our Spanish sisters are hearing our lessons. The other thing I wanted to just touch briefly about was that we had hoped to have downloadable e-copies available for purchase, but there were a few glitches in getting those up on the website. So if you're a person that really would prefer an e-copy of the study, that's fine. Just write your name and your email on a piece of paper and put e-copy on it and give it to me after tonight at the end of the evening, and I will make sure tomorrow morning that you get an e-copy tomorrow morning by email. And so we can do that. And then we're hoping that in the next 2 weeks it does get up on the web and it is downloadable. I am so excited about our study this fall, Because God's word is God-breathed and useful. It increases our understanding of who God is. It impacts the way we think. It impacts the way we talk. It impacts what we do and our actions. And that is a precious thing. So this year, we're going to be spending this fall in Ruth, and we're going to be spending our time in James and 1st and 2nd Peter in the spring. So let me just say a couple of things about how we choose our studies. Last year, we spent our whole year in the study of end times, and that meant most of the time we were in Revelation. And that's apocalyptic literature. And a lot of that literature is prophetic literature. And sometimes that can be hard to understand because it's full of symbols and you end up having to learn some long theological words and see what the differing perspectives are. And yet, I came out of that study filled with hope, knowing that God is bigger than all of it. God sees the end from the beginning. And his plan is sovereign. And he wants us to know the end of the story, that we will spend eternity with him as part of his family. So that even when our world seems to be spinning out of control and moving away from the Lord, God is in control. And that fills me with hope. So, after tackling Revelation last year, this year we're turning our attention to some very practical books. Books that demonstrate and illustrate, practically speaking, how to live out our faith. What does it look like to live righteously before the Lord? Does it really matter how we live? And it's important to our faith to hold in high esteem both the Old and the New Testament. And sometimes we're a lot more familiar with the New Testament, but there's so much to be gleaned from understanding the Old Testament because there's threads of scarlet that lead to Jesus throughout every single book in the Old Testament. So overall, I like to make sure we spend time in both. It's also very important to understand Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us. So every 4 to 5 years, we go back to one of the Gospels, to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, because he's the linchpin of our faith. Christ, he died for us, and he gives us life. Now, I had cataract surgery this summer, and for about 2 weeks, my vision was really blurry. And it took about 4 weeks before I was feeling confident that I could see clearly at all. And today we're going to spend just a few minutes building a lens that will help us focus on this tiny little book that's found in the Old Testament about two destitute women who are in a desperate season of their lives. One of whom, Naomi, finds herself far from home, full of grief, despairing, having just suffered an unbearable loss. And Naomi was really unable to see clearly at this point. Her spiritual sight was blurry because of her pain. She'd lost her hope, her perspective. And why should we even care? Why should we care about these two unknown women? Because God cares. And he saw them, and he cared for them in unique and precious ways. He knows. He knows right where you are. He sees all the things that you have been going through. And what a timeless truth is that to hold on to, even when God seems to be missing in our lives. And we feel like our prayers are not being heard. And painful situations remain the same. God is still at work. His providential care covers us. And we'll see that in living color throughout the book of Ruth. So where does this book fit in to the overall Bible? Where is it in relation to other books? And one of the foundations of our lens is the type of literature it is, the genre. And different parts of the Bible have different types of literature. And we have wisdom literature, narrative, discourse, prophetic, poetry, to name a few. And Ruth is a historical narrative. It actually happened, And it's a narrative of what happens at a particular point in history. And those narratives are purposeful stories retelling historical events with the intention of giving meaning and direction to people in the present. And that's us. So every biblical narrative functions at three levels. The first level is the big picture level, the story of redemption. At this level, every narrative teaches us about God and his universal plan for his creation. The second level is the story of God's people. And at this level, every story teaches us about God's redeeming people for his name's sake. And then the third level is the individual story level. And this is the level most easy to understand, but our goal is to understand each story in itself, but at the same time, discover how each individual story contributes to the overall stories at the other two levels. Now, there's a few cautions about narratives as we study, and here's some things that narratives are not. Narratives are not allegories. They're not filled with hidden meanings, so don't be looking for those. Narratives are not intended to teach moral lessons. They're primarily stories about God, not morality. Narratives do not teach doctrine directly. Narratives tell us what happened, not necessarily what should have happened. They are descriptive, not prescriptive. And then the last three things about narratives are that the characters in narratives are not perfect and not necessarily good role models or examples for us to imitate. And narratives don't always say if what happened is good or bad. We must use sound judgment from what God has already taught us directly in other parts of the Bible to discern whether what has happened is good or bad. And then narratives are not written to answer all our theological questions. And that list was put together by Rome Van Dyke. He's one of our members here at Stonebriar. And there's one last important thing about narratives. God is the hero of all biblical narratives. So let's turn to the book of Ruth. And let's ask the question, where does Ruth fall in this grand retelling of God's story? It's here in the midst of the period of the judges, which was a very dark time in Israel's history. And the book itself is one bright spot that appears. It's one of only two books in the Bible that are named for women. And in the midst of the dark period of the judges, the lives of three individuals, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, and one city, Bethlehem, stand in stark contrast to most of God's people and the cities they live in. So there's a few things that I want you to know as we begin our study. And the first thing is that Ruth is only one of two books in the Bible that bear the name of a woman. I've already said that. The author is unknown, although Jewish tradition is that Samuel wrote this book. And so many scholars believe that Samuel was the author, but there's some problems with that view, and we'll talk about that later. The period of time is set in the period of the judges. It's regarded as a literary masterpiece. It's a Hebrew short story told with the utmost of skill. And it has a marvelous symmetry throughout. And if you like English and you like chiastic structures, there are chiastic structures throughout the book of Ruth. So let's take a little bit closer look at the period of the judges. There's in our study guides, it is filled with wonderful charts and helps that help us understand what we're studying. And on page 10 is a chart of the book of Judges. It shows kind of the timeline of when it's most likely that each judge served. The main thing about the period of Judges is that it's a period of increasing sin against God and a deeper and deeper spiral into moral decay. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and they rebelled against God, and God would raise up a nation to come and oppress them. They would be oppressed for a number of years until the people cried out to God and said, "Oh, Lord, we're so sorry. Please save us from this oppression, and he would raise up a judge to deliver them from the oppression. But it's an ongoing spiral of that happening over and over and over again. So it was a really dark time. And then another chart that's very helpful is Appendix H on page 76. And this is a chart showing the spiral and then giving a list of the different judges and what happened and where those references are for each judge. Now on page 9, if you flip back to the front of the book, on page 9 is a book chart of the book of Ruth. And this week I would suggest that you just look through that chart before you begin your study, because it's very helpful. The book of Ruth is 4 chapters, and so at the top of that chart are 4 divisions of Ruth. And then what I love, especially in this chart, is in the middle of the chart where it says the contrast between what is happening at the beginning of the book and what is happening at the end. Ruth's return, Ruth's redemption. Sorrow and famine and death in the family to joy, wedding feast, and birth of family. Ruth was a Gentile Moabitess, and Ruth ends up in the lineage of David, King David, one of the most revered kings in the history of Israel. So let's go to the next slide, and there's a few things that I want you to keep in mind as we, this is the slide, as you begin the study this week. Look for contrasts, and all PowerPoint will be posted on the website, so if you miss something, that's okay. You can look it up. Dialogue is key in Ruth, so pay attention to what is said and who says what to who. Note the transitions between chapters, because that sets up what's going to happen for each chapter. The first sentence of each chapter and the last sentence of each chapter. And then there are incredible spoken blessings, at least 7 throughout the book. So pay attention to the words of those blessings and again what is said. One of the things that Ruth and Naomi illustrate is this whole picture of mentoring, of older and younger women investing their lives together. And so we're going to spend some time talking about that whole concept, the concept of spiritual mothering. And really, with all the shift and changes in our world, I'm in the boomer generation, and I have kids who are in their 20s, and so we see the world completely differently. So we're going to talk about some of the differences between how moderns see the world, which is my generation, and how postmoderns see the world, which is the generation of my children. And we're going to come to a greater sense of understanding of each other this fall as we do that, because there's going to be an emphasis on mentoring. Now, one of the things that I would recommend that you do this semester, 2 things really. Listen to an audio Bible app or CD of the book of Ruth, because it was written to be heard, not read. And that will really help your understanding. Do that at least 3 times through the semester. There's a group of women that are planning to memorize the whole book of Ruth. So I'm going to throw that challenge out to all of you. And if you want to join us in memorizing the whole book of Ruth, periodically we'll have some help for that and some suggestions. But it's a short book. It's only like 83 verses. And we have several months to do it. We can do that. So as we begin this fall in this dramatic, exquisitely written book called Ruth, the book about Naomi, who is empty in all kinds of ways as we meet her, yet through the kindnesses and hesed love that goes above and beyond of Ruth and of Boaz, Naomi is full by the end of the book. And as she moves from Moab back to Jerusalem, we see her go from sonless and childless to gaining a son-in-law and a son, the first child of Ruth and Boaz, whose name is Obed. So let me close this in prayer. Oh Lord, we pray for our hearts to be softened and more in tune with you and your ways through this study. May we grow in our ability to recognize your word and your work in our hearts and in those we love. May we be women who see clearly with our vision and our perspectives aligned with yours and not clouded by our circumstances or pain. May we be women like Ruth, whom God uses and chooses to use in others' lives to impact and love them in life-changing ways. We ask these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.